Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, if you've been driving up and down White Street here recently over the last couple of years, you see this great big building that used to be all about textiles. It ain't about textiles anymore, but it's called The Thread. And we have the two gentlemen here today who have recreated The Thread. We're going to find out what's going on with it. Claude Close, who's the president of Springs Creative, and Jay Coleman, who's with the Keith Corporation, and they've kind of partnered to make this project work. Guys, thanks a whole bunch for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Manning, thanks for having us.
Glad to be here. All right, let's do some introductions. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, Claude.
Okay, yeah, sure. Claude Close. I recently joined Springs Creative as the president of our retail and technical fabrics divisions in January. I've been around the textile company and industry my entire life and finally bit the bullet and joined officially. But before that, I was helping out with some of our family real estate, and specifically I'd been involved with the Thread project going back 3 or 4 years now. And so now it's kind of come full circle. I've been helping on the development side, but now Springs Creative, we're the anchor tenant in the building, moved in middle of June, so a little over a month ago now, and we're just really excited to be part of the project from start to finish and be the first tenant.
Take 30 seconds and tell everybody what the heck Springs Creative is.
Okay, yeah, of course. The Springs Creative traces our roots back to the original, Springs cotton mills dating back to the late 1800s. As the textile industry was going through some changes back in the 2000s, and Springs Industries, as many of us knew it, went overseas, my father, Derek, purchased Springs Creative, which was an operating division of Springs Industries. He bought that division outright and has operated that as a separate company since 2007. So we primarily sell craft fabrics to the retail industry. So Michaels, Walmart, Hobby Lobby, Joann's are some of our big customers. And so we've been doing that for 50 years and still going strong today.
And part of what you do is you've got quite a catalog of logos and what have you that you put on these various pieces of textile that people want.
That's right. So as part of the the acquisition of the company, we also acquired the collection of Springs family textiles. So I'm not sure the exact number that came with that collection, but over the years the company has acquired several additional collections from other private collectors, and so now the what we call the Baxter Mill Archives numbers close to 1 million unique pieces of artwork, fabric, design, and so all that's now housed at the Thread, and people can come in, see it, work with our design team, touch it, feel it, and any of the designs we have can be recolored, resized to come up with any sort of design that you can think of. And so it's just the ultimate warehouse center for inspiration for designers, creatives. So that's something we're really proud of. And wow. I think having it now at the Thread out on display is just going to be a great opportunity for us.
That's really interesting. Very interesting. Okay. See if you can top that, Jay. Tell us a little bit about the Keith Corporation.
Yeah, thanks, Claude. I got to follow that. Jay Coleman with the Keith Corporation. I've been with that company for 4 years and been working on the Thread for the last 4 years as well. Prior to that, I mean, my background goes back to, growing up, I was a military kid. My dad was a Marine for 30 years, and I was down that path from the get-go, so I did the same. After college, went in the Marine Corps for 10 years, active duty, flew Cobra attack helicopters.
Oh, boy.
Got out, still in the reserves today, but been in the real estate industry ever since 2015. Like I said, with the Keith Corporation the last 4 years.
They still let you fly those Cobras?
Flying fixed wing now, King Airs.
King Airs. Yeah. Quite a difference from a Cobra.
A little bit different, yeah. a little safer, a little more.
Yeah. I got you. So the building that we now know as a Thread, what was it, for those who don't know what it was, prior to what it is now? It was a great big textile mill?
Jay, you want to start from the beginning?
I mean, the history of the site goes back over 130 years now. I mean, the first kind of business that was located there in what is known as our textile mill corridor that runs from, you know, where the cotton factory is to the edge of the Winthrop campus was where the Rock Hill Buggy Company was located in 1892. And as y'all probably know, Anderson Motor Company, they with Avid, the automobile, they pivoted and got with the times and started producing the Anderson Motor Company cars, and did that until 1929 when Lowenstein & Sons out of New York came down, bought all the land, all the facilities, and Anderson Motor Company, and converted that into the Rock Hill Printing and Finishing Company, or the Bleachery. So all textiles from 1929 forward. Springs took over in 1985.
Yeah.
And but I mean, at the height in the 1960s, when you know textiles are humming in America, and American Might is there, the jobs are here. There was 4,800 people working in that kind of textile mill corridor. So it was the main employment hub for the region. And that's our kind of hope now. That's been, 60 years ago since that kind of peak where it, peaked and then started to come back down. And we're trying to recreate that with not only us, but our, neighboring developers, partnership with the city to kind of reinvigorate that whole corridor, bring jobs to the area, residential, retail, you name it.
And, yeah, the Springs Creative was still using that building for distribution and manufacturing up until just a few years ago when we relocated a lot of those uses. Down to Chester County, South Carolina, realizing all the transformation that was going on in the downtown Rock Hill area, we just understood that, a distribution warehouse probably wasn't the highest and best use for that building. And so that's when we teamed up with the Keith Corporation and our new partners, the Capital Broadcasting Company, to breathe some new life into the building.
Yeah, and the building itself, I mean, the site that the building is on within that corridor, it was originally all single-story structures. Then there was a massive fire in 1940. They all burned down. And in 1944, they began construction and delivered in 1946 their first phase of construction, which is kind of our second phase of construction now. And then in 1956, they did an addition, which is our first phase that we just delivered to the market. Each phase is roughly 200,000 square feet, so 400,000 square foot building total is what we're kind of left with.
400,000 square feet. That's a big project. I would imagine there were quite a number of discussions around the table. Does this make sense or does this not make sense to do this thing?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
it's a business deal. You got to figure out whether or not it's going to work.
Yeah, those conversations started before I even started with the Keith Corporation, with Claude, his father, and my boss, Ken Buehle. He's our CFO and Director of Development. That was 2017, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. It's been going on for quite some time, and Manning, you've met my father. Once he has an idea in his head, he's going to make it happen one way or the other. So there was, discussions with a number of different development partners, and it really just kind of took finding the right fit, the right group that was could kind of understand our vision for the project. And, I think we found that with the Keith Corporation, and it's, it's a big building. It's been challenging. We kind of really got to work putting, pen to paper right as COVID hit. So, a plan for a 200,000 square foot office building kind of no longer seemed prudent. And so we've, pivoted a few different times, had lots of hard discussions, but, we're committed to seeing it through to the finish line, and we're about, halfway there right now. And I think we have a good plan to finish it out.
All right. So what is the plan now? I mean, you had to pivot prior after COVID. The building is so big. I mean, it's huge. It's 400,000 square feet redeveloped. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you did, I don't know where this, I mean, somebody ought to get a gold star for this, cutting out the middle of the building, mm-hmm. which I would imagine was an engineering challenge to cut out the middle of the building without collapsing the whole doggone thing.
Yeah.
But cutting that out and creating that massive atrium in there, really, I just think that's kind of icing on the cake.
Yeah, this kind of goes back to the initial, like Claude said, the business plan and what we were planning to do with the building. And dimensionally, the building is over 3 football fields long and a football field wide. And it's, it's 3 stories. Each, in the side, there's columns that support, the ceilings above, and they're all 20 feet by 20 foot spacing and 18 foot clear height on every floor. And so if you look at whether you're a resident, an office goer, retailer, if you're in the middle of that building, you're 50 yards from the edge of the building and natural light. So then how do you create natural light? And then also because of, you know, the depth of the building, disjointed window lines that we also kind of inherited with what we were doing with the original construction. Our architect, you know, we had a back and forth conversation like, all right, do we go out and pursue historic tax credits? Do we go get this registered with the federal government as a historic building and get those tax credits, which are immensely helpful in making a deal pencil economically? And in the end, we kind of had to tell ourselves, like, no, we would be delivering a product back to the market, you know, that is just not what it needs. Because you really have to reinstall the same window lines. You can't cut out the middle of the building that we're talking about now. You can't saw cut slabs to create, you know, a double height lobby entryway like we do have now. So we forwent those credits, knowing, like, we wanted to put a good product out in the market. We are the benefactors because it was a textile mill. We get are getting South Carolina textile mill tax credits, which do economically make this project possible. If it weren't for those, we wouldn't have done it. Couldn't have done it. But anyway, so because we forwent those historic tax credits, our general guidance to Little Architecture, who's our architect on the project, was, all right, guys, we're not playing within the confines of the federal government's sandbox. Nobody's telling us what we can and cannot do from a design standpoint. So our general guidance to y'all is preserve all the architectural history, integrity, the grittiness of that, you know, textile mill, and pay homage to the past. But now blend in every modern Class A tenant-focused enhancement from a design feature, mechanicals, electrical, plumbing, you name it, to make this a truly modern building that is, you know, does look have a historic nature to it. So that courtyard you're talking about in the middle of the building, I mean, it's literally an open-air donut hole in the middle of the building. That gets natural light now to everybody there. It's a 6,500-square-foot courtyard. Same as if you walk into the main lobby of the building, we saw cut the slab above to create this double height, you know, 40-foot high kind of grand cased opening. Again, more natural light, more glass, just to kind of open the building up, make it less cavernous and more inviting for tenants and customers and you know, pedestrians with the community to interact with.
So did you have plans, old plans on the building so you could see architecturally and engineering-wise that you could cut this thing out? Or does somebody just go in there and say, oh, I'll figure out what's in there?
I mean, there were plans. Were they as thorough of plans as you'd like to see? No.
Nah.
I mean, people got stuff done in the past, and there was a lot less red tape, and so sometimes less detail, too, for what they actually created. So yeah, there's a little bit of guesswork in any adaptive reuse that you kind of do.
Plenty of surprises that were unsurfaced during the construction process, yeah.
So did I got to think that when somebody said, okay, we're going to create this massive courtyard and open this whole building up. Did the engineer or the architect say, you want to do what?
No, we said that because we were like,
yeah, it was their idea.
That's rentable square footage that, you know, theoretically, you know, somebody would pay, you know, rent on to make the deal, again, make economic sense for us to do. So at first, yeah, we gave them a kind of raised eyebrow. What do you want to do? But in the end, I mean, after you've kind of walked it, man, for yourself and seen it, it is the most unique feature. I mean, there's really nothing like it that I've seen personally in my time in real estate, walking around and at similar projects that go as far as, like I said, blending the old with the new in a really good way. Our architect did a really good job, and we did have a lot of trust in the modification to
absolutely. And you took all that concrete that came out from that creation of that courtyard, made a great big pile of it, lots of piles of it out there in what's now the parking lot. And you ground it all up and use that as a subsurface for the parking lot?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, we essentially kind of formed our own little rock quarry out front. I mean, it's an adaptive reuse. So by nature, you're repurposing a building instead of tearing it down and letting it go all to waste. So as we're going through and, you know, again, planning for the actual construction, looking at the materials of what is reasonable, what is not. So wood features, taking the concrete out, like that was huge. Like that courtyard, you know, all those floors, that was all that concrete there. So it was pretty cool actually to watch, man. Like the way they did it is we craned in this large tracked kind of tank looking vehicle that had a saw blade on it that's about, you know, 5 feet tall. And they lined it up on the cut line down with a millimeter of tolerance. This track vehicle made these saw cuts starting from the top of the roof, because the roof is concrete as well, made those cuts, and then brought in skid steers with a jackhammer attachment to them, two of them. And being a Marine Corps, you know, Cobra pilot, I'll tell you, it sounded like dueling 50 cals going off, where it's just I mean, just super loud. But they chipped it all. It fell down to the floor above. And inside there waiting was additional skid steers with bucket loads on there who came in, scooped it up, and then threw it out the front windows into the parking lot. And we just let all the concrete accumulate. Some materials, old mechanical, electrical, plumbing, obviously went to, you know, waste yards. But we took all that, grounded it up, and where there was a truck court before, because it was, you know, distribution right there, that's what's filled up and leveled off all the subsurface for the parking lot.
I remember when Gary Williams did the cotton factory, and he finally decided to do it. And he sat down with the city of Rock Hill and said, look, I'm going to do this project. But I know there's going to be a bunch of, you know, discussions we're going to have. I got a timeline to get this project done, and I want to get it done. So the city really worked very well with him, and he got the project done within a year or 13 months or something like that. And I remember at your opening, you all were also very pleased. You said that a dozen times at least, with how easy it was to work with the city on a monstrous project like this.
Yeah, absolutely. They've, you know, the city, county, everybody's been very supportive from start to finish, and it—I mean—that's what it takes to get something like this done. You know, Jay can probably speak to some of the detailed conversations better than I can, but you know, I know we had some deadlines to meet towards the end of last year, and it took the whole team, our contractors, Choate Construction, our architects, Little, as well as the city, to make sure that those deadlines were met, and we all lost some sleep headed into it, but we got it done at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once the project, even before it kicks off, but once construction does start, every 2 weeks we have what's called an OAC meeting, an owners, architect, and contractor meeting. We did it every Tuesday at, you know, I think 1:30. Well, every other Tuesday at 1 o'clock, city manager and every representative from every department was in a meeting with us for 30 minutes prior to that OAC meeting to basically go through. We'd talk about our progress, any hiccups we're running into, any support we needed from the city, and likewise, you know, they've been asking, what can we do for y'all? Because we told them from the get-go, yes, we have a very aggressive timeline. Our GC, Choate Construction, tells us we can do it. We have a long working history with them, so we trust what they're saying, and we need your support, city, to make it happen. Can you support us? And the answer was yes, and they went over and above, you know, what you normally get from other municipalities in the local area, I'll say that. So from Mayor Geddes, City Manager David Vihan, all the way down to everybody in every department was phenomenal to work with, continue to be phenomenal to work with. So can't say enough good things there.
We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at andersongriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Okay, we do fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2. They've been doing it for over 38 years. And why do people keep coming back in here? It's because of this magical formula that we're going to tell everybody about at the count of three. Are we all ready now? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Well done, Marines.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Relax this summer with a promotional rate on select travel purchases with your Founders Federal Credit Union credit card. Now through August 31st, get 6.99% APR for 6 months on qualifying purchases, including airfare, hotels, restaurants, and cruise lines. Don't let interest rates slow you down this summer. Visit foundersfcu.com/travel to learn more. On March 1st, 2025, the promotional APR revert to the effective APRs previously disclosed. Call 800-845-1614 for details about credit costs and terms. Membership qualification required.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
The Piedmont Medical Center Women's Tower at our Rock Hill campus boasts fully furnished labor and delivery rooms and family care suites. Our Level 3 NICU is equipped to provide advanced medical treatments for premature infants and infants who may have complications. Inside the Women's Tower, families begin bonding with their special deliveries in private family care suites, allowing mom and baby to relax with ease. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, Claude Close, president of Springs Creative, and Jake Coleman with the Keith Corporation, two of the partners involved with this massive project down there on White Street known as The Thread. I love the sign you put out of there. Now, was that out of your logo pile that you were talking about?
That was an original. No, that's brand new.
Well, that's very nice, particularly at night when it lights up.
That got rendered by our architect, and we liked it so much. I think your dad especially liked it. And it's kind of like a beacon, you know.
You know
where the thread is now when you drive by it.
Absolutely.
It's hard to miss. So.
A great big spindle going down through the middle, or the roof, or whatever. That's cool.
Yeah, needle going down
that's
through
it.
There. So.
All right. So here we are. We got 400,000 square feet. How much of it has been renovated so far?
Half of it. So again, we broke down the building into two phases. That was always the plan. Even going back to the original business plan, and like Claude was saying before COVID, seeing the growth of Charlotte, the number of companies that were making Charlotte a destination for corporate relocation or expansion, and us being in the primary kind of path to growth coming down 77 to Fort Mill, Rock Hill, it made sense for it to be mostly commercial. So.
Right.
But even still, we had plans to break it up into two phases, just like the original construction. Like I said, it was built in 1946, the original building, and then added on in 1956. So we're taking it down, one half at a time. And the first half is still all commercial. We have 170,000 square feet of Class A creative office, and then 30,000 square feet of ground floor retail amenities for the project and for the area. Again, like our initial plan for phase two was to do basically more of that, but with COVID and the impacts it's had on the office market and supply demand fundamentals, that's where we took a step back, and that's where we also brought in our third partner, Capital Broadcasting Company, out of Raleigh Durham. They've got immense experience doing adaptive reuse projects that are specifically focused on residential. Namely, American Tobacco campus in Durham.
Oh, that's something to see.
Yeah, I mean, our history between our company and theirs goes back to that. I mean, they are, we think Capital Broadcasting Company, you don't really usually think real estate, but back in 1996 when they approached us about being a developer on that, they didn't have that really to speak of, but since then have grown their own real estate development arm and have become experts at it. So, we brought them down here, take a look at our phase two side and say, hey, we don't think there's enough office demand to do this. So what do y'all think about residential, loft apartments? And that's where we're kind of going with our phase two plans right now.
So how many will be in there? I mean,
so we're getting ready to actually go to construction documents. We're kind of fleshing out the final details on the plans for that. And we're at 165 unit count right now. With another 25,000 square feet of ground floor retail.
Okay. So we're going to get started on this?
Well, we've already started. Talked about the demo of that courtyard in phase one, how loud it was. We already did the demo of the courtyard in phase two. So that's already done. So kind of technically started construction. But full construction, we're hoping to start later this end of the year, beginning of 25.
Okay. So they might be available late in 25 or 26?
It'll bleed into 26.
Okay.
Spring 26 is what we're targeting.
So is part of that just waiting to see what the market's going to be doing? I mean, because we have a bunch of apartment projects. that are already up and operating. They seem to be doing okay so far. Yeah. But we've got others that are already, you know, on the boards and are soon to start, like that big project at the Herald that's supposed to get underway. Mm-hmm. So you just wait and see.
We see the demand in the market. We've kind of done our homework on it, and our product is going to be completely different than anybody else's. Everybody else's, I mean, they're nice apartments and complexes, but it's all ground-up construction, which is, you know, you have to make it, you have to kind of struggle to make that unique in its own way. Whereas what we have, it's completely unique because it is an historic structure, and the loft aspect too, because there's 18-foot ceilings in there, so you can do that. So it'll be different, kind of set itself apart from the rest.
Nice versus really nice. Is that right?
Something right. Different. And, of course, economics and finances will drive everything, but I do think because, you know, our phase two, the apartment side of the project is connected to our phase one. I mean, there's only so long you can really wait and let it sit idle before you need to kick things off. And so I think, you know, assuming finances fall into place, you know, the plan would be to get started as soon as we can on the phase two side.
I was going to say, you know, this this crazy economy that we're living in, interest rates have gone up. They're coming down just a little bit, but they're not there yet.
No.
And from what I know about construction, interest rates make a big deal as to whether a project moves forward quickly or whether we just slow down and wait for the line for everything to get lined up. Same situation here,
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's a challenge for anybody right now. Construction pricing similarly has, you know, come up over the last few years. It started to stabilize, but it hadn't really come back down. So between those two, you know, the debt markets and, you know, construction pricing being what they are. Labor costs, it's expensive to build anything right now, whether you're building a substation too or, you know, rehabbing the thread. It's hard to make it work.
All right, so your take on the local economy. Obviously, you wouldn't be making an investment like this if you didn't think this part of the upstate of South Carolina that we live in is going to continue to grow. That hasn't changed at all as a result of anything that I know about, and you must feel it's just as strong as ever.
No, I mean, yeah, Charlotte. We're part of the Charlotte region. We're the benefactors of everything that is Charlotte, and most recent stat is 155 people move to Charlotte every day. And I don't know what the specific, you know, recent stats are of how many of those 155 come to York County, but I imagine it's at least probably a third of them, because of, you know, the lower cost of living, good public schools. It's safe. It's clean. We're in the path to growth, like I said, so I don't see it slowing down here. It's just the nature of what it is. It's a great place to live. Yeah.
And we see all these connections that downtown is making, you know, with the pedestrian bridge that's going to go over the tracks and Dave Law Boulevard, and then this, I don't know what you want to call it, this bikeway, greenway, pathway, whatever it's going to be, all the
Storyline Trail.
There we go. Thank you very much. All the way from Winthrop University over to downtown. I mean, that's some very forward thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's a connect, you know, it's Knowledge Park, right? Knowledge Park is what they defined as the cultural, friendly, walkable,
right.
You know, keyword walkable center of town that connects Winthrop all the way to, Fountain Park in Old Town. So that TxDOT corridor is right there in the middle of it where we're at. So I think the more you can encourage people to maybe not get in their cars and drive, you know, from one end to the other, but, you know, walk, interact as a community, stop in, visit their local, you know, retailers, support local business is just good for everybody.
And you already have one big commitment for some type of entertainment piece there, do you not?
We do, yeah. So
about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. All right. Yeah, 16,000 square feet. It was originally planned for four separate retailers, but this concept called Roar, as in the Roaring 20s, they're located in the Innovation District in Winston-Salem. They're coming in, and if folks are familiar with, like, Queens Park Social in Charlotte or Penn's Mechanical, it's like that. It's a full-service kitchen, bar, but the draw there is, like, you know, duck pin bowling.
It'll be operational by?
Hopefully beginning in 2025.
2025, yeah. All right. Claude Close, thank you very much. Jay, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Been a very interesting program. Hope we can do it again down the line as this thing continues to progress.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
enjoy being here.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. One more time, guys. We do fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We do it in a way that brings people back day after day after day after day, and it's in the white letters, and I know you guys can read because you did so well before. At the count of three, let's dazzle everybody with your talents. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Hey, got it. Go Marines. Hoorah.